We'll call Senate Labor and Commerce to order. Let the record reflect it's about 7 minutes after 2 p.m. on this Thursday afternoon, February 11, 2010. We do have a quorum present. Beginning at my left is Senator Con Bundy. To my far right is Senator Kevin Meyer, and then immediate right is Senator Joe Thomas. My name is Senator Joe Pascvan. Senator Betty Davis is excused. She's, anyway, hopefully she will feel better soon. But anyway, the purpose of our meeting today is to hear two bills. The first is Senate Bill 227 relating to public accounting, and the second is Senate Bill 205 relating to RCA rate change. I would recognize that we do have Senator Bill Wilikowski in the audience with us today, and we welcome him to Senate Labor and Commerce. It is my intent to hear, and with the support of the committee, move Senate Bill 227 to the next committee of referral. And with again, I do commend Senator Wilikowski for his focus on consumer advocacy, and also looking forward to considering the merits of Senate Bill 205. It is my intent to hear from the bill sponsor, to also hear from the RCA and other testimony, and then to set aside Senate Bill 205 so that we can receive additional information on that. But anyway, we'll get started. With respect to Senate Bill 227, I have Jake Hamburg from my staff that is here to present the committee the presentation on that. I think that this CPA bill is kind of fits in with what I think the state's philosophy should be, which is accommodating as best as we can the needs of a specific profession so that we can make progress in the 21st century. Anyway, I would like to welcome Jake Hamburg. If you would please state your name, affiliation, and present the merits of this of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jake Hamburg, staff to Senator Pascvan. Before I begin, I'd first like to let the committee know that Senator Pascvan and I have worked closely with the State Board of Public Accountancy and the Alaska Society of Certified Public Accountants every step along the way in developing this bill, and I'm proud to report that this bill enjoys their full support. To begin, this bill updates Alaska's uniform accountancy statutes to keep up with today's business demands and the needs of the accounting profession. 45 states have already enacted some version of the bill before you, which simply does three things. The first is it establishes mobility provisions to allow licensed CPAs from other states to practice certain functions within Alaska without unnecessary filings, forms, and fees. Alaska's CPAs appreciate this provision because it will allow them to practice in other states without the same hassles due to reciprocity requirements by some of those states. This provision also allows consumers or clients to receive timely services from CPAs best suited to the job, regardless of the location. The second thing this bill does is it updates Alaska's uniform accountancy statutes to allow for simple majority ownership by CPAs of CPA firms. The accounting profession has changed over the past several years, as has the composition of today's typical CPA firms. Non-CPA professionals who enhance accountants' abilities to serve their clients, such as lawyers, computer information specialists, or consultants, now work for accounting firms. Additionally, modern audits require input from and participation by many different types of professions and professionals in addition to CPA auditors. To maintain an experienced multidisciplinary audit force, firms need to be able to offer ownership to different types of professionals. Ownership can also be used as a tool for attraction and retention of talented individuals that would be invaluable to a CPA firm. Competition for talented employees is more intense than ever, especially in the accounting firm, and then with the current law, non-CPA professionals know they can never make partner as a result. Alaska CPA firms can have a tougher time hiring and retaining these non-CPAs who often have little incentive to make a long-term commitment to CPA firms. Finally, the third thing this bill does is it enhances the board's ability to protect the public's interest. It directs the board to investigate a complaint made by the accountancy regulatory body of another state It adds a failure to take corrective action regarding ownership as a basis for board action, and it also indicates that persons with practice privileges, out-of-state permits, or out-of-state exemptions, and legal entities that hire individuals with practice privileges consent to the jurisdiction and disciplinary authority of the board. Implementation of Senate Bill 227 will allow consumers to receive timely services from CPAs best suited to the job, regardless of the location, without the hindrances of unnecessary filings, forms, and increased costs that do not protect the public interest. It will also ensure that CPA firms in Alaska are able to provide the best services to their clients and remain competitive with their peers from outside of Alaska. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions you or members of the committees may have. I'd also like to point out that Lisa Rogers from the Alaska Society of Certified Public Accountants and Max Mertz from the State Board of Public Accountancy are both online and available for questions, as my background is political science, not public accounting, so I may have to defer to them. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions of Mr. Hamburg? Yes, Senator Bundy.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Folks stopped by to see me on this issue, and it seems, as Chairman described, a common sense improvement of business and public service. Is there any pushback? Have you heard any negatives of why this shouldn't occur?
Through the chair, Senator Bundy, I haven't. It enjoys the support of both the CPAs and the state board who regulates the CPAs.
Yeah. That would reflect my experience. Thank you.
Okay. No further questions. We thank you, Mr. Hamburg. I note that Julie Olson is here and would request that she come forward.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Julie Olson. I'm the current president of the Alaska Society of CPAs. And I just want to make sure you all were aware that the Alaska Society of CPAs has passed a resolution in full support of this board, of this bill as written. And we've worked hard to, to get it going. We appreciate you guys moving it along.
Do you believe that the bill encompasses all the concerns that you as president of the Alaska Society of CPAs have been able to contemplate?
Yeah, I believe it does. The committees that have worked to develop this have worked in conjunction with the NASBA, the National Association of State Boards of Accountancy, along with the AICPA to enforce or to get the Uniform Public Accountancy Act. This incorporates that. It does everything we want it to.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your society, what percent of the accounting firms in the state of Alaska belong to the society? Or do you have a guess? Is it most? I'm not saying it has. You know that it's not.
Of the accounting firms, my guess would be the majority. I don't have the exact figures. There are about 500 members of the state society.
500. So there, what's the guess of the total number of accounting firms in the state, just if you have a wild guess?
You know, through the chair, Senator Thomas, I wouldn't even have a guess.
What I'm getting at is the same question that Senator Bundy had. You know, are we going to pass this because it seems like an innocuous, although lengthy piece of legislation at 20-some pages, and then the next day the phone will be ringing off the hook with people saying,
is there
good
any objection?
Lord, what did you guys do? This is was a local hire provision. Now you've extended that opportunity to out-of-state firms.
Well, we've made every effort to make sure all the CPAs in the state are aware of this. We spread the news through the society's newsletters, and we have not heard any opposition to this.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator.
Point of order. I don't think CPAs are allowed to do wild guesses.
Are you sure?
Thank you, Julie Olson.
Thank you.
I know we have connecting electronically. We have out of Anchorage, Lisa Rogers. Is Lisa Rogers?
Yes, I'm here.
Please state your name and affiliation and then provide your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Lisa Rogers. My address is 738 H Street, Suite 200, Anchorage, Alaska, 99501. I am an Alaskan CPA representing the Alaska Society of CPAs, asking for your support of Senate Bill 227. This bill aligns our statutes with three provisions set forth in the Uniform Accountancy Act, which is model legislation drafted by NASBA, the National Association of State Boards of Accountancy, and AICPA, the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. The National Association of State Boards of Accountancy represents the regulators. It is an organization to which the Boards of Accountancy in all licensing jurisdictions of the country belong. The American Institute of Certified Public Accountants represents the profession and sets forth the professional standards to which all CPAs must adhere. Although Senate Bill 227 is 21 pages long, it accomplishes three things which Jake pointed out: the mobility, the uniform disciplinary proceedings, and the simple majority CPA ownership of firms. 45 other states have already passed this legislation. We have spent over 2 years working on drafting the legislation with the help of NASBA and AICPA, both the State Board of Public Accountancy and the Alaska Society of CPAs have passed unanimous resolutions in support of legislation that accomplishes these objectives. We know of no opposition to this legislation. We ask for your support in getting it passed quickly so that our state can be in sync with the rest of the nation. Thank you for your time and for your service to our state.
Thank you, Ms. Rogers. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, we will thank you, Lisa Rogers. We now turn to, from Ketchikan, Max Mertz, or maybe he's from Juneau.
Yes, Senator Pascoe, this is Max Mertz. I live in Juneau. I'm in Ketchikan right now.
Okay. Thank you. And please state your affiliation, Mr. Mertz.
Yeah, my name is Max Mertz, and I'm on the Board of Public Accountancy in Alaska. I'm a CPA here. I live in Juneau and a member of a CPA firm there. I've been on the board for 6 years and was chair for 4 years, ending in 2009. It was during my term as chair that we brought the mobility and firm ownership idea to the state and developed this bill. The Board of Accountancy takes very seriously its mission of regulating the accounting profession in Alaska and protecting the public interest. And one of the chief challenges that the board has in carrying out its mission is to be able to effectively pursue licensees from other states who come to Alaska but don't properly serve their clients. Out-of-state practice become more commonplace, of course, in the electronic age. Prior to the mobility initiative, which commenced really in 2007 after a thorough study by the AICPA and NASBA, each state had its own rules for out-of-state licensees to provide services in other states and for states to carry through and enforce actions of boards of accountancies in other states. And this has resulted in an inefficient system, difficult to navigate, and further compliance and enforcement is nearly impossible with the multiple cumbersome processes and disparities and requirements in the various states. With mobility, the Alaska Board of Accountancy will gain automatic jurisdiction over all CPAs practicing in our state. It will enable us, the board, to discipline out-of-state licensees, whether they are registered in Alaska and licensed or not. The mobility bill can be likened to driver's license that will provide CPAs with mobility to practice in other states than their home state while retaining and strengthening the state board's ability to protect the public interest. Certainly, it's only successful if it's passed in all the states, and as Mr. Hamburg and Ms. Rogers stated, we're down to five states now. Three of the states, one of which is Alaska, has legislation pending, and the other two I expect to have legislation very shortly. And also, as Ms. Rogers indicated, the Alaska Board of Accountancy has unanimously passed resolutions in support of the mobility and firm ownership changes to Alaska statute. One other on the opposition, possible opposition out there, over the last 2 years, we have had representatives from NASBA come and speak to the State Society in both Anchorage and Fairbanks over a period of time, and I have done presentations on mobility in a variety of venues, and so far have heard no opposition to this bill. So I ask for your support of the bill, and I, too, thank you very much for your hard work for the citizens of Alaska. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Mertz. So that maybe it's better understood when you are addressing the jurisdictional component of that, where it's mandatory jurisdiction in Alaska, it's, so to speak, a long-arm grab, where if they're doing work here, then under this statute it says we have jurisdiction to address and discipline potential violations of the standard?
That's exactly right, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mertz. Any questions by the committee? Thank you, Mr. Mertz. Is there anyone else online that we have? There's no one online. Is there anyone here that would like to provide testimony to the committee? Seeing none, we'll close public testimony on Senate Bill 227. Discussions, Senator Meyer.
Well, sorry, Mr. Chairman, I didn't have any discussion. It seems like a good bill. I'm ready to move it.
I'd point out there's a zero fiscal note attached with this, just so that everyone is aware of that. And I agree with Senator Meyer. I think it's a good bill, and so I'd entertain a motion.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that we move from committee Senate Bill 277 with the attached zero fiscal note and attached individual recommendations.
27.
I'm sorry, did I read that wrong? Put on my glasses.
227.
227.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry, 227.
That's your bill at 277, that other one.
Yeah, maybe it was.
As to 227, are there any objections? Hearing none, Senate Bill 227 moves out of Senate Labor and Commerce to the next Committee of Assignment. Congratulations to the CPAs. So we'll just take a brief at ease, and then we'll Senator Wilikowski, certainly welcome to come up while we just sign. We'll call Senate Labor and Commerce back to order. We still have all of the previously identified committee members present. We now have before us Senate Bill 205, and Senator Wilikowski is before us, and this is a proposed gas cost adjustment, and it's currently being considered by the RCA. And although there are specific references to the NSTAR case in the bill packet, I believe it is most appropriate to stick to the content of the bill without, as much as possible, discussing the current docket before the RCA. And again, I believe that there is a time and place for consideration of that issue, but this committee's consideration of Senate Bill 205 is not that time and place. And I understand it is a major issue in South Central, and want to give the bill a hearing to address the policy matters that underlies Senate Bill 205, and again commend Senator Wilikowski for his consumer advocacy in this. Anyway, what we will do is extend a welcome to Senator Wilikowski, and please identify yourself, state your affiliation, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Senator. For the record, my name is Bill Wilikowski. I'm a state senator serving Northeast Anchorage. And I'd like to thank you, Mr. Chairman, for hearing this matter so quickly, and to the committee members as well. And I'd also like to thank the Senator French, who's a co-prime sponsor on this bill. I'll be very brief and happy to open up for questions. This is, I think, a relatively simple bill. And what it seeks to do is to tell the RCA in statute that it may not compensate a for-profit public utility for its negligent conduct, recklessness, or intentional violation of the law. And I guess there's some very basic principles here that we're trying to address. For-profit utilities are operating monopolies. There's no competition. Therefore, if allowed to recoup for negligent or reckless or intentional violation of the law, there is no incentive for that company to be efficient or to act as a reasonable or prudent company. If a utility makes a mistake, there's nowhere the consumer can go, Mr. Chairman. They can't go down the street to another utility because they have a regulated monopoly. This bill encourages efficiency. It encourages utilities to act in a reasonable and prudent manner. I believe this will ultimately help keep costs down and ultimately protect the consumers of the state of Alaska. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just end by noting that this bill has a zero fiscal note as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions directed to Senator Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would you give me a non-company specific example of what might be considered by the RCA in a case such as this?
I know there's a very highly publicized incident out there. Essentially, what happened and what could happen is a company can act negligently and pass those charges on to the consumers of Fairbanks or South Central or anywhere in Alaska. So it could act reckless, it could act negligent, it could be intentionally violating the law. And under current RCA law, they could pass that cost on to the consumers. Any form of negligence. I don't know how specific, if you want more than that or not.
I'm just trying to get an idea, if I may continue.
Absolutely.
Something like maybe they extended some utility lines or something, buried utility lines, and in the process of their evaluation of the products that they were using, there was sloppy evaluations or something like that, and they used a product that may not necessarily be for that application in that type of ground or something, and then it failed, and they had to replace it, and then came back to the RCA, or the RCA would then have authority to deny any increase based on that type of thing. Is that something that might be in the realm of what we're talking about?
Senator Thomas, to the chair, that could be an example. I think we're not trying to punish companies for making mistakes. If they make a legitimate mistake that's not negligent, then they would be able to be compensated for that. They could file with the RCA and request compensation for that. However, if the company is truly acting negligently, and typically that's defined as having a duty, breaching that duty, the breach being the cause of damages that follow, then they would not be able to recoup those expenses, or if they act in a reckless manner. To give you an example, if you had a natural gas company that was recklessly put its lines in the ground, like you mentioned, or negligently put its lines in the ground, and there was damage to the lines, and it was $7 million, under current law, they were negligent. They could come back and ask the RCA for the consumers to pay for that negligence. I don't think there are very many instances in American free enterprise system where companies can be compensated for their negligence. And so really what we're asking is, we have regulated monopolies. We don't allow the free enterprise to be compensated for negligence. They typically pay for their negligence. And all I'm simply saying is, let's extend that to these regulated monopolies.
Okay, and one other minor point.
Yes, Senator Donaldson.
What would be the utility's recourse if they were found against? They were found to be negligent. What's their next step to try and vindicate themselves and collect their...
Senator Thomas, through the chair, if the RCA ultimately determines under this bill that there was negligence or recklessness, then they would not be able to be compensated from the consumers. And so that money would have to come from their profits, ultimately. And if a company, this is for-profit companies, so it would ultimately come out of their profits.
But they would still be allowed the opportunity to take that decision to court?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Whatever the RCA rules and regulations apply, the RCA makes a decision, and ultimately that is appealable to
sure.
to the court.
That's what I was getting. Yes. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank
you. Senator Bundy.
Yeah, thank you. I think you may have answered it. Who makes the determination of negligence or reckless? Does that be the RCA, or was that a court case?
Yes, Senator Bundy, through the chair. Initially, it would be the RCA. And as I don't know the appeals process, and please don't, I don't purport to be an expert, but my understanding is that there is a right to the Superior Court. They would have a right to appeal that decision to the court. But I would like to get back to you with a definitive answer on that.
Mm-hmm. And if I might continue, and you mentioned free enterprise, if someone makes a huge mistake and there aren't the profits to eat it up, they go bankrupt. Is there a proviso for a regulated utility to go bankrupt if they made a huge mistake and they simply couldn't cover their loss?
It would be the same situation. If a regulated utility went bankrupt, then we would look for another company, another more responsible company, to come in and assume the assets of that company. I mean, companies can go bankrupt now, although in a regulated monopoly, it's pretty rare because they have the RCA saying you have this, we're giving you this constant stream of revenue.
Thank you.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator Wilkowski. You may already answer this, and I just missed it, but when we use the terms negligent conduct, reckless, and intentional violation of law, isn't there already some ramifications or something that the RCA or the Attorney General can do if indeed they're doing that?
Senator Meyer, through the chair, there is not. There's nothing that I've been able to find in the law that, and we've talked to attorneys about this, there's nothing explicit in the Regulatory Commission rules, laws that say the RCA cannot give compensate in a utility for negligent, reckless conduct. What the RCA does is they can set a rate based on they determine what's just and reasonable, and so the RCA could find that allowing a rate for negligence was just and reasonable. This bill would prevent them from doing so.
Okay. If I could follow up?
I could just ahead. Along Please. The line of that, and then Senator Meyer, certainly, you know, Senator Wilkowski, in the current statute, and this is part of my confusion, it indicates that when the commission finds that a rate demand or a practice affecting the rate is unjust, unreasonable, unduly discriminatory, or preferential, isn't that, are you addressing a practice of the utility that would, if it's deemed to be unreasonable, isn't, you know, are we adding anything here?
I think, Senator Pasvan, I think we are, and you're right. The law 4205-431A does say that they can look for unjust, unreasonable, or unduly discriminatory or preferential practices and not allow those. However, and I know we don't want to talk about specifics here, but in this specific case from which this bill stems, they allowed the NSTAR to collect even though it was clearly negligent. In fact, I believe they admitted it was negligent conduct. They've allowed them to collect that on the backs of South Central consumers for months and months. So I don't think the language is as clear as we would like. I think just the facts of what's been allowed already prove that.
I guess generally it's my understanding that a determination will be coming out in several weeks as to whether that can be retained. And I guess what part of my question is you know, wouldn't it be appropriate to defer until the outcome of that so that we know whether, from as a matter of policy, we have to deal with something or not have to deal?
There is a decision, I believe, that is expected on March 1st in that particular case. As you mentioned in your opening statement, this stems from that particular case, but this is really an overarching principle. And the decision that they make, I don't think they can legally come out and say, we're not going to allow companies to be compensated for negligent, reckless, or intentional, because that's not in the statute. They can't make law. They can come out and say, in this particular case, it's unjust or unreasonable, but this doesn't protect consumers in future cases. And I should also mention, this whatever we do here will have no bearing on that case at all. Whatever the RCA decides in that case is what they decide. That would be ex post facto, and we can't do that. So the RCA can't change the statute, and that's what we're seeking to do.
Anyway, I interrupted. Yep. Senator Myers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And first of all, don't get me wrong. I think you're on the right track here. Whenever we can protect the consumer, we need to. I'm just trying to understand how far-reaching this bill would be if we indeed did pass it. So you're only after the for-profit utilities, so that would include, like, ACS, GCI, AT&T. What about, like, is there any utility or any, like, electrical, I don't know, GVA or I think Chugach and MLP. Chugach is co-op. And
GVA, co-op.
GVA is co-op. Now, what about MLP, for example, which is owned by the City of Anchorage? If they made a mistake like this, could they do the same thing that the company we're not supposed to talk about did?
Senator Meyer, through the chair. I believe we had asked Legislative Research to provide us with a list of which companies were for-profit and which companies were not. And I think I gave that to you. If not, I can get that to you. MLMP is not considered a for-profit utility. They're owned by a political subdivision. And as we were thinking this through, we sort of came to the conclusion that it's very difficult to do this with co-ops or with companies that are owned by political subdivisions or not, I guess, nonprofits, because there's nowhere to go for the compensation order. If it's Chugach Electric, let's say, they're a co-op. It's owned by all the ratepayers, and so if you say no, we're not going to give you that, they really have nowhere to go. They simply go back to their ratepayers, and so it's sort of this endless loop that you get into, and I think the check that you have with co-ops and with companies that are owned by political subdivisions like MLP is that the citizens have a right in those cases. They can vote those people out if they don't agree with the decisions they make. If they ultimately think they're acting inefficiently, you can vote out the co-op board of directors, you can vote out the mayor, the assembly, the people who are making decisions or have power over the boards and co-ops and owners of those like MLMPs, for instance. But with the for-profit companies, there's really little no recourse. The individual citizens really have nowhere to go. And the for-profit companies are making a profit. They can take the money out of their profits to pay for the negligent or reckless conduct.
Okay, thank you. And there is a list here, for-profit. It looks like Alaska Electric Light and Power, Alaska Power Company, Aniak Light and Power, which surprises me. Some of these rural areas are for-profit. Interesting. Thank you.
Any further questions, Senator Meyer?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
I know we have a number of people that are holding online and are present, so we thank you, Senator Wilikowski, for bringing up this policy consideration that does affect consumer interests, and I think it's always something to keep at the forefront of our minds.
Thank you.
So we have Tim McLeod is, I believe, present here, and we could have you come forward and state your name and affiliation and provide your testimony.
Okay, thank you. My name is Tim McLeod. I'm president and general manager for Alaska Electric Light and Power, serving Juneau. I oppose the language in the bill. To me, the language is discriminatory towards the investor-owned utilities. If it included the other utility structures, I'm sure they'd be here to express similar concerns, as we all operate under the same regulatory principles. I'm confident that the Regulatory Commission will not allow utility, profit or nonprofit, to receive compensation under existing regulations unless the utility can demonstrate that the compensation is just and reasonable. But the proposed language will eliminate the Commission's discretion to rule on very, very complex regulatory issues. I also believe that the proposed language could lead to higher utility rates by encouraging unreasonable investments in system redundancy and maintenance operations, inspections, as the bill could end up with a situation where we could be considered negligent for a system failure. This bill is broad and could have unintended consequences. Under this bill, can a utility recover the cost of repairs resulting from a heavy snowstorm, or is the utility negligent for not burying the lines, even though the investment would result in a higher rate to the customers? That concludes my comments.
Thank you, Mr. McLeod. Senator Bundy.
Thank you. There's sometimes a tendency in the public to say, well, corporations, they have lots of money, we should squeeze them and get some more out of them. But where do you get your money? You mentioned investors. So if your corporation, your company makes a profit, does it provide a dividend to investors?
Through the chair, Senator Bundy, yes, we do provide a dividend to our investors, but most of the utility's profits are used in the same way that a nonprofit utility's funds would be used, and that is that most of it is used to operate, build, reconstruct, and so forth, the existing system. So it's a very small percentage of the return on the investment that actually goes into a dividend.
If I might, Mr. Chairman, you may be talking me out of investing in utilities if you have a small return. But the point I was making is that under current law, the public ends up paying. Under this law, it would just be another portion of the public that would end up paying, because with reduced profits, there would be reduced dividends and return on investment.
Through the chair, that I believe that's correct. It's very important for utilities of all types to to be healthy, because the financing is so critical to maintain low rates. And I'm afraid that if we get in precarious situations, that the cost of borrowing money, and that's where most of our funds come from, is borrowing. I'm afraid that that could be, we could end up with some very, very high borrowing rates.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your testimony. Do you generally self-perform on the interties, on line work on interties? Do you do that yourself, or do you contract out that?
Through the chair, I believe I understand what you mean. For transmission, you mean transmission lines. We don't really consider ours to be interties, because we actually aren't intertied to other utilities.
Right.
But
okay. Sorry.
But generally, we do our own construction work, although we do use contractors also.
Okay. Would you be concerned in that case that I don't think you have a lot of helicopters, so you obviously subcontract some of the work. Would you be concerned with this change that might create your responsibility for somebody else's error as well?
Through the chair, I hadn't really considered that, and I don't know. I don't know what my response to that would be without thinking through that.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Thanks. That's
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mr. McLeod, what is your understanding of the Regulatory Commission's current dealing with, for example, reckless or intentional conduct?
As I stated, I believe that after a very, very complex review of each situation, the Regulatory Commission rules properly on these issues. I don't believe that there's any way that a utility could ever be compensated, for example, for an illegal, for violating the law intentionally. I don't believe that acting reckless or negligent, that they can receive compensation with the existing regulations. But they're so complicated that I believe that there are ways that that something could be considered negligent to some degree, but in to some degree not negligent, and there could be some compensation. It's just so complicated that I would hate to take the discretion away from the Regulatory Commission to make that ruling.
Thank you, Mr. McLeod. Any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
We have off net, I believe, Rich Gasaway and Jan Wilson with the RCA.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Hello, is there Rich Gasaway and Jan Wilson?
Mr. Chairman, we're here to available to answer questions.
Would you like to provide any statement at this time?
No, this is Jan Wilson.
Right. Well, let me ask just a general question. What is the RCA's experience or capacity to conduct hearings as to the reasonableness or unreasonableness of a practice?
We have conducted extensive hearings in many proceedings on those kinds of issues.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Bundy.
Thank you. And we in the legislature are often trying to provide more tools and help. Do you see this bill as a tool and a help to your endeavors? If so, have you taken a position? Do you support or oppose the bill?
We have no official position on the bill.
Okay. Do you view it as a help or a hindrance?
We take our guidance from our statutes that you pass, and we execute them in the best way we possibly can. At this present moment, we operate under the just and reasonable standard, which is a standard primarily underlying that standard primarily is the concept of cost-based rates. So the just and reasonable standard may not be a very good standard by which to judge the kind of conduct that you are trying to prohibit in this bill. The just and reasonable standard speaks, as I said, to cost. But underlying utility rate-making principles is a concept called prudent management. And a utility typically, even if it actually spends money, that is definitely for the service it is providing, but it does so imprudently. In other words, a prudent manager would not have done or made the expenditures that this utility did. Then the commission normally would not allow imprudent actions collected in rates.
Mr. Chairman, if I might continue.
Thank you. Yes.
And I think I sense some hesitancy in you giving me more definitive answers, but I've heard some confusion. You said the standard may not be appropriate. So do you need further guidance from the legislature? Do we need to give you more clarification on the standard? Do we need to write some legislation that will give you more tools?
I think that the general rate making principles under which we now operate have always guided us since the enactment of the original AS 4205. But if you wish more specific guidance, we are certainly capable of administering that more specific guidance. If you would like, in addition to the imprudent standard, for us to consider the other standards that are in this bill, we can certainly do that. There may or may not be differences between negligence and imprudence, for example, but in most cases they would be somewhat similar.
Mr. Chairman, may I try one more time? Your job is to protect the consumer. Are you adequately able to protect the consumer at this time, or do we need this bill?
The commission, we need a public meeting of the five commissioners to take an official position on the bill, which we have not done. Well, I'm speaking strictly for myself at this time.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I might,
she going to answer?
I think I'll consider it asked and answered
No, I don't.
Did you have more of the answer?
In other words, I perceive that there is going to be, you're speaking just for yourself, and then you were going to make a statement. Am I accurate?
I think speaking solely for myself, the imprudent standard is one that has a lot of precedent in this state and in other states, and we are comfortable with that standard. If the legislature prefers a negligence standard, I think we can become comfortable with that standard.
And if I might, Mr. Chairman, I thank you for that. The chairman had said at the outset that this bill would be held, I believe, for further input, and I think it would be valuable, at least to me, if not the entire committee, to have the commission meet and take an official position.
We can certainly do that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Bundy. Senator Meyer?
Yes, thank you. And if, I'd like to follow up on Senator Bundy's comments. I may have the same luck you did, Senator Bundy, but and I would agree with Senator Bundy. It would be good to have a position from the commission as a whole, but you know, if you find somebody negligent, reckless, or intentional, wouldn't that be imprudent?
I would say probably, but I think each individual situation, you get a very complex factual situation, and the imprudent standard is essentially a standard that says a prudent manager under the same circumstances at the time the decision was made would not have made the decision that led to these costs. That is a little bit different than the negligence standard.
Okay, let me try a different question. I think, you know, one of the we heard one of the reasons for this bill coming forward was to protect a consumer from a for-profit utility. But the fact that the consumer doesn't have a choice. However, this would impact all for-profit utilities, and it's my understanding, especially in the telephone business, it's very competitive, and the consumer does have multiple choices. And I guess that is one concern I have, is that by maybe going after one utility, we're impacting several others adversely. And I don't know if that's a question or just a comment, but if you do have any thoughts on that, I'd sure like to hear it.
You can try that.
Representative Senator Meyer, was that the question?
Yeah, please identify yourself. We know Jan Wilson was previously speaking, so please identify yourself and state your affiliation.
This is Rich Gasaway. I'm also with the RCA, a staff member. And the senator was correct in his assessment that the telecom arena is competitive in several markets. Not all of Alaska has competitive phone service, but several of the larger markets do. How we regulate the rates of those carriers, in large part, depends on how competitive the market is and whether the competitor is the incumbent or the entrant. And in that regard, though, the underlying assumption is correct, that the for-profit language would impact some utilities, telephone utilities that are involved in competition.
Okay, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? We would thank Rich Gasaway and Jan Wilson for their testimony, but we now move to Matt Wallace. Is Matt Wallace available?
Yes, I am.
Please state your name and affiliation and provide your testimony.
Thanks. For the record, Matt Wallace with the Alaska Public Interest Research Group, or ACPIRG. We're a statewide, citizens-based, nonpartisan public interest advocacy group. We focus in large part on consumer protection issues. And I'd like to offer my testimony today in support of Senate Bill 205, largely for the two, I think, simple reasons that were mentioned by Senator Wilikowski in his opening statement. One is that, companies and utilities are no different, will respond to incentives and financial incentives. And for many utilities and many consumers throughout the state of Alaska, your standard competitive market forces don't always apply those incentives when a company may be acting negligently or recklessly. And again, the metaphor is I can't go down the street and pick another utility to provide heat or electricity for my home, generally speaking. And so there is less of an incentive in that case for companies to make sure that they are using the best possible practices to avoid negligent or reckless behavior, although we would, of course, hope that the companies are always trying to avoid reckless and intentional violations of the law. That said, I mean, the incentive provides an additional protection for consumers in these cases, and we think that is a very important thing to do, and that, regulation that will help provide that incentive by prohibiting companies from putting their mistakes, their negligence or reckless behavior on the backs of Alaskan ratepayers is a very important consumer protection, and we think that's strongly important and a prudent thing to do. The other reason is less of an economic reason for supporting and more of just a common sense one. Why should we have a situation where we are, allowing for-profit companies to be rewarded for their negligence, reckless behavior, or, intentional illegal actions when it comes to their profits and their pocketbooks. It seems almost just good common sense to us that we should have a system in place that would prevent them from passing those costs along to consumers. And then the final thing I'd say is that, you know, certainly these decisions and rate reviews and rate increases, these are complex issues, absolutely. And within these complex issues or in these complex situations, we think that in addition to standards such as reasonable or just, you know, it certainly makes sense and could only provide additional consumer protection and additional protection for you know, all Alaskan ratepayers to add protections against negligent, you know, reckless and intentionally illegal behavior. So with that, I'll conclude my testimony. And thank you for the opportunity to speak for the bill today.
Thank you, Mr. Wallace. Senator Bundy.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. At least in my view, one of the reasons for the high cost of medical care in our country is defensive medicine. People ordering lots and lots of tests and doing lots of defensive things to prevent a suit and loss of profit. Is it possible, in your view, that something like this could cause a lot of defensive behavior, as was alluded to by a previous testifier, on a utility companies doing that, and the unintended consequence is that the rates go up for the consumer, and that we may be doing more harm than good when that happens?
Senator Bundy, through the chair, I do think that this situation is substantially different from the one that you described in healthcare, mainly because, and I'm not sort of, you know, speaking on either side of the issue of you know, sort of tort reform or medical malpractice, but generally, it seems like in those situations you have, you know, what are often very, very large awards that are, you know, the result of civil suits for malpractice. And the argument, as I'm familiar with it, is generally that the defensive medicine is in response to these, you know, very large sums of money. Here, the bill, as I understand it, would simply, you know, prevent companies from passing on the costs of their negligence or reckless behavior onto the backs of consumers. I don't think I share the concern of the previous testifier that that stands to you know, radically raise rates. And in fact, it seems, you know, more likely that it would just keep rates lower for consumers because, again, they would be protected from having these sorts of mistakes added to their utility bills.
Senator Thomas, did you have a question?
I did. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Mr. Wallace. With the addition of this language, do you have a concern that we're creating a different standard for the nonprofit versus the profit, and there's another classification or two, I think, of utility that might lead to confusion with the existing language as well as the definition of some of the terms that exist?
I guess I'm not. No one can say for sure. I think now I'm not as concerned about that type of situation, largely for the reasons outlined before by Senator Wilikowski. The nonprofit or other co-op type utility structures tend to have other sort of avenues through which consumers can, you know, make their voices heard or affect change. In those structures, those provide at least some of the type of incentive that, you know, regular highly competitive markets would provide in getting to that incentive that you know, can help keep these types of behaviors from going on. So I think because of those reasons, I'm less concerned that this would, you know, somehow you know, muddy the waters in that sense. And then again, you know, it also does seem fairly straightforward to me. We're just adding for the companies that it makes sense to do so for the standard of you know, no negligent behavior, no reckless behavior, no illegal behavior that leads to increasing rates for consumers. It doesn't seem like that could to me, potentially add too much confusion to the situation.
So you don't think somebody might use it as a defense that, well, they make specific mention in the case of a for-profit that you cannot grant a utility rate increase for negligent conduct, reckless, or intentional violation of the law. So obviously, if they had to make special mention of that, they didn't intend that to be a situation for the nonprofits.
I guess the honest answer to that question is, I'm not sure. I'd have to consider that.
I realize there are always exceptions to things, but and this may be something that. Anyhow, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Seeing no other questions, thank you very much, Mr. Wallace. We now have, I believe, the next person, Bob Grimm or Grime.
Yeah, this is Robert Grimm.
And state your affiliation.
I'm president and CEO of Alaska Power and Telephone.
All right. Please provide your testimony.
Thank you. I view this legislation as a reaction to a single incident that I believe that if time allows will be remedied by the expertise under the existing statutes and guidance available to them by the RCA. And we have a piece of legislation, when it's well-meaning, could have some implications that you should be aware of before moving it forward. The first one I would like to mention is it's only targeting one segment of the industry. By targeting IOUs, which at least on the electrical side of the business in Alaska is a very small minority. They're essentially creating what could be a handicap to that segment of the industry, and also a potential barrier for an IOU to enter into that segment of the industry. The second item that I'm concerned about is that regulatory administrative law is a body of knowledge and precedent that goes back many, many years and is practiced in every state of the union. And now what we have before us is S. Bill 205 is coming out with a remedy to a situation which I'm sure has occurred in the past in the practice of public utility administrative law and was dealt with in an effective manner. And I believe we're overreacting to a single instance. In other words, if it ain't broke, why fix it? Especially if you don't know the downstream implications of the fix that you are considering. The RCA, under state law, under the regulations, their powers and duties are to be liberally construed by the courts. That's in the statute. That means that when they make a decision, they're able to liberally construe and have a higher standing than a normal statute under the law. And finally, also under state law, the RCA has the ability to levy civil penalties and fines upon public utilities that exhibit repeated behavior or behavior that might be at the root of this proposed legislation. Finally, Alaska Power and Telephone is an investor-owned utility. But we're unique in that the largest portion of our equity is owned by our own employees. And so the actual burden of any hardship, due or undue, under this change in the statute would be borne by our employees to the largest extent. And finally, I would ask the sponsor of the bill, which I don't know the answer to, does any other state have this specific language or goes to providing specific guidance to regulatory agencies dealing with public utility regulation similar to the RCA. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, we thank you for that. We now have what I believe is the last person, Pat Luby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Pat Luby. I'm the Advocacy Director for AARP in Alaska. AARP supports Senate Bill 205. We have all been following the news about Toyota recalling many of their models because the company made a mistake. The company is taking responsibility for their error. Their profits will be lower and their shareholders will lose some of their profits. But no one is saying that Toyota's customers are responsible for the cost of the error. That's how it ought to be for Alaska's utilities. If a negligent error is made, the company should be held responsible, not the customers. The RCA, the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, should be empowered to hold the party who made the negligent error responsible. The customers should be held harmless. Senate Bill 205 will accomplish this, and we recommend your support. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Luby? Seeing no questions, is there anyone here that physically present that would like to provide testimony that hasn't? Again, as I indicated, I do want to set this bill aside, so I'm going to cease, I guess, public testimony today, but certainly willing to reopen it later. I think that, as several of the committee members have indicated, they do, and I think it is absolutely appropriate that we do receive the RCA's position on the change in standard, and I would also, kind of echoing one of the comments, would like to know on the administrative regulatory law on the issue of precedent, and if we were to change to a different standard, are there other states' laws that would provide a precedential foundation for us if there were to be a change in standard? And so I think there are policy issues that are appropriately decided in this committee, so I think it's appropriate to hold the bill in committee at this time. So given that, I think we've reached the end of what we can accomplish today. Labor and Commerce is adjourned.